This is Tony and Susan Alamo of the Tony and Susan Alamo Christian Foundation, coming to you from Nashville, Tennessee.
It's so nice to be here with you.
Well, darling, it's so I just praise and thank the Lord for being here, for you being here with me at this time. And I just want to let the whole world know that it takes the faith of 1,000 men to do what you've been doing the last few months after that horrible brush with death.
You know, Tony, I don't believe that during that period of time that God was ever any more real to me or Christ was any closer to me than he was during that period of time. But 1974, 75, somewhere along in that period of time, I talked to you people out there about having terminal cancer. Now, I know that things like this are some of the things that in the society that we live in today, everything is love and peace and everybody is beautiful. And I know that we are prone as human beings to just hide anything that is unpleasant, that we just simply don't want to face it. So we just put it aside and pretend that it isn't there, or if there's something that is terribly wrong with you, well, you're not supposed to discuss it. But you know, this is contrary to the Word of God. It's contrary to what God says. The Lord says that man's days are few and full of sorrow. And I can't see myself ever having been, or that I ever could be, an escapist. Because I believe that everything about us is a living reality, and that we are here for a purpose. God has placed us here for a purpose. And of course, all the diseases and all the things that happen to people, there aren't any of us that are going to escape life and its reality as of what it really is. And 7.5 years ago, when I knew that I had terminal cancer and was given a verdict then that it was so far gone that I would have to be hospitalized immediately if there was to be anything at all done about it. And during that time, we were completely broke. We had just started this great Christian work, and we're completely without finances. About all we had was wall-to-wall people and no money. And I knew that I had to make a decision before God of what I was going to do about it. And I remembered when I was a little girl, 9 years old, and I had made my commitment to Jesus Christ at that time, and how from the depths of my little heart and soul, I had said to the Lord, "Lord, I'll give you my life." And when the doctors 7.5 years ago gave me the verdict that I had terminal cancer and that it definitely was in a very, very desperate stage at that time, I walked out into this little waiting room and I sat down and I made a decision before God that I would give my life to the Lord, because I knew that I couldn't stop. I knew if I did, that the church would collapse, because it was about all both of us could do to keep it together at that time. And I made that decision before the Lord that I would give him my life. I want every person out there to understand that I did not make that decision because I felt that medical science was incompetent. Quite the contrary. We didn't have either the finances or the time for hospitalization for me. So I made up my mind and made my decision before the Lord that I would just simply take my cross and that I would carry it. And I worked every day of my life and had a group of young people that were workers too, and we worked together to establish for the Lord. I didn't complain. I simply went on every day of my life, and I did whatever I could do before God. The day before I had this collapse, 3 months ago, I worked the night before I collapsed the next day and was taken to the hospital. I knew that every day of my life, I had to make a contribution before God. I knew that every day of my life, I had to do something constructive for Jesus Christ. And I did that. And then finally, I simply collapsed. And I was taken to the hospital at Fort Smith, Arkansas. And when I went into the hospital, in convulsions. I was just convulsed in pain. And I had suffered for 7.5 years. They hadn't been 7.5 years. No, any person that knows anything about terminal cancer knows that you don't just walk on with a hop, skip, and a jump without any pain or any suffering. And I had suffered something terrible. And when they took me into the hospital, I asked for 3 of their top cancer surgeons. And when the doctor came in, I said to him, "Doctor, there isn't anything that medical science can do for me. I'm too far gone." I said, "I have had terminal cancer for 7.5 years now, and I've worked every day." And I said, "I know now that it's through every part of my body. I know that. I knew when it went into my liver, into my lungs." I said, I realized it. I knew it at the time. But I knew that there wasn't anything really that I could do about it. I knew that it was too far gone, that there was nothing that could be done. So the doctor looked at me rather skeptically, like, "Well, you know, it seems a little strange that anyone could just so cool and calm to simply say that every part of my body is simply eaten up with cancer." So they gave me 4, I believe, the greatest doctors in the world. I think I had the finest medical attention that any person could have had. So they took me to surgery, and when they opened me, they saw that everything I had said was true. Every part of my body was completely eaten away with cancer. Every part of it was in the lungs, liver, intestines, kidneys, female organs, everything was just simply and completely devoured. So they saw that there was nothing that could be done, and the doctor said that it would have been like sewing cancer to cancer. So they just simply stitched me up, and they sent me over to die. Now, I had said to the doctor before I went into surgery, I said, "Now, I can tell you what you're going to say. You're going to say, when you open me, that I'm going to die. But I'm not going to die. I said, I'm not finished here yet. I have a lot of work to do on this side of eternity yet, and I'm not ready to die. And I said, because Jesus died, I can live, and I'm going to live." So, of course, after they had seen that everything I had told them was true, they were absolutely astounded. So they sent me over to die, and they expected me to last for about 2 hours. Well, I didn't die, and because Jesus died, I am living. Now, I don't claim to the world of having any healing, because I don't have any. There isn't any outward manifestation of healing at all. But I am alive in Jesus Christ. And to me, this is the greatest miracle in the world, that a person could be that far gone and be able to stand on their feet and continue on and be the head of a large organization and work every day. This was another thing that absolutely astounded the doctors, that I had stayed on my feet and that I had continued to work after they knew, because they said in all their years of medical science, in their years of practice, that they had never in their lives ever seen anything like it, that it was absolutely a miracle that I had been able to stay on my feet and to work as long as I had. Now, I didn't even have the stitches out of me, and I said to one of my doctors, "I'm going home." And he said, "But Susan, you still have the stitches in you." And I said, "Yes, I know. I do, but I'll come back and have them out." So I went home and picked up the phone, and I called Virginia and different places, and I said, "I'm coming down to preach the gospel." And I said, "The Lord has given me a miracle. And I don't believe there has been any time in my life that Jesus Christ was any more precious to me. I don't believe there has ever been a time in my life that God was as close to me as he was during that time." And you know the thing that I thought about during that period of time too? I thought, what do people do in a crisis like this? People that have been wicked and people that have done abhorrible things before God, what would they do if they were faced with a crisis like that? Because I felt such security in the Lord, I gathered all the people together the night before I went into surgery the next morning. And I said, "Now, I'll tell you what they're going to tell you." I said, "They're going to tell you that I am dying, but don't you believe them? And I said, any person who says to you, now, you people just simply make up your mind, this is it, the Lord's going to take her on. I said, you say to them, oh, ye of little faith. And one of my doctors said to me after I had come out of surgery, he said, but you know, Susan, he said, God doesn't heal everybody. And I said, you know, doctor, you are right. The only persons that Jesus ever healed were the ones who asked him and the ones who believed that he would do it. Because I don't remember through the pages of the Bible that any person ever went to Jesus Christ in truthfulness and sincerity when they were desperate and asked him for help that he ever turned them away. Now, my case isn't something that couldn't be easily proven, because any person who would doubt it in any respect, like Jesus said, though, he said, though someone would be raised from the dead, there are some who still would not believe. I believe in the condition that I am in, that I will see the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, a person would have to believe the gospel that they preach to go to such extents as I have gone with it, without any doubt or without any fear, because I didn't have any concern about anything being wrong between me and my God, because I knew that all was well between me and Him. I knew that there wasn't one thing in my life between me and the living God. And do you know, friends, at a time like that, when you are facing death, and you know that, you realize that, I'm not a fool. I know what terminal cancer means, and I know what death means. Death is eternal and everlasting. And if I said to you that I had great strength in those trying hours, I would be completely untruthful, because I had no strength at all. My strength was in the Lord, and I was leaning, looking, and trusting Him with every fiber of my being. It isn't an easy decision for a person to make, to give up their life. That isn't an easy decision. It wasn't an easy one for me. And if I said that I did it easily, it would be untruthful, because I didn't. You know, Tony and I have lived such a different life than most married couples have lived. We've never been separated. Our lives together, we have spent 24 hours a day together. And I love my husband with all my heart. And all the young people that God has placed in our hands, I love every one of them as dearly as if they belonged to me. And it isn't an easy decision for a person to make, to give their lives unto the Lord. But I know that my Redeemer liveth. I don't preach some kind of gospel to you out there and then live a different type of life myself. I knew that these young people, all of them, had been faithful. They had been dedicated to God. And I wanted to see all the security given to them in their lives that they could possibly have. Most of them are married now, and they have families of their own, and some of them, incidentally, getting to be quite large families. And I wanted to see them have businesses set up, that they would have security and have an income coming in. I wanted to do and complete a job for God. That's why the Lord has let me live, is because I did the things before God that He had called me to do, that He had required of me, and the Lord let me have my life. Jesus said, he who is willing to lay down his life for my sake shall save it. He shall be able to keep his life. And I know that in those dark hours when it just looks so impossible, and the suffering and the pain that I went through was a nightmare. It was absolutely incredible. It was 10 days and nights of just a nightmare. But there never was a time during that 10 days and nights that my faith ever wavered in Jesus Christ at all. I knew that He was there, and I had a firm hold upon that nail-scarred hand. The Lord isn't going to let me die. He's going to let me live and complete the job that He has given me to do. And I'm so thankful to the Lord today for the husband that He gave me. I'm so thankful that God let me have a man that was such strength to me during those trying times. I remember one of the first things that I remember seeing was Tony kneeling by the bed and holding me by the hand and crying out to God. And do you know, there isn't anything in this world that is any greater and any more of a comfort than that. Another thing that the Lord showed me during this period of time, ministers of every denomination across America, regardless of if they theologically or doctrinally believed as we did, they called their congregations to prayer. And many, many of the denominational ministers came from surrounding states all around and were there the morning that I went into surgery. You know, I'm so thankful for God's people everywhere. And I thought about the one thing that when the body of Christ, when it is suffering, how the people of the body of Jesus Christ, how they rally together. And I saw such beauty in so many of the Christian people. And then later, when I was up and walking around and people would meet me here and there and say, Susan, we were praying for you. Our pastor called our church to prayer, and we were all praying for you. You know, I felt your prayers. I felt you because I was right there. I took quite a trip there for a few hours and went right up there. And I'll tell you, he's there. Don't you ever doubt it. He is really there. And I felt your prayers. I knew that you were there. This is why I am alive in Jesus Christ today. Jesus died that I could live. And Jesus died that you can live. And I want to say to every one of you out there that prayed for me so consistently, God bless you. And I knew that you were praying. I felt each and every one of you. I knew that you were there. And I know that the Lord in some way will bless each and every one of you that were so faithful during such a time of need. And I want to repeat again that during this period of time, I don't believe that there has ever been a time in my life that Jesus was more near and dear to me than he was in those dark hours. And I want to say again that the thought crossed my mind so many times during that period of time. What would a person do at a time like this that didn't have God? And do you know, we're all made out of the same clay. We're all made from the earth, and the Lord God blew his breath into our bodies and made us a living soul. And you see so many people going about their days here on earth, nothing but wickedness and contriving, nothing but mischief, and even against God's people. And many of them are afflicted with the same thing. You know, terminal cancer is one of the most degenerative of all the diseases in the world. And it's one of the plagues that the Bible tells us will be in these last days. There isn't any doubt about that. It's a plague. And it's a horrible thing. And so many people are simply eaten up with this thing and they don't even realize it. They don't know that there is anything wrong with them. Do you know that I have preached many of a person's funeral since I have had terminal cancer in the 7.5 years that wasn't even aware, right up to maybe just a few months before they died, that there was anything wrong with them. They didn't know that. And it's something that's going to hit so many people in this near future. And none of us know what our days are or how long we actually will be here or what the afflictions are that will be cast upon us. But the one thing that we can rest in a surety in, there's God, and there's one mediator to the throne of God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There's no other way that we can be saved. There's no other way that we can be delivered from hours of darkness and torture, but through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you know that I believe this old-time religion? I believe it from the very depths of my heart and my soul. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. I believe that he hung on the cross and that he died for the remissions of my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead and that he lives. And do you know that this is the most important thing in this world as to where our souls are going to spend eternity? Because it doesn't make any difference what we do with our lives here on this side of eternity. Truly, Surely, as Jesus said, whatever we do when we come to the end of the line, there's going to be that man called Christ. And do you know that it is so important to make a decision on this side of eternity? What will we do with that man called Jesus Christ? You know, whatever our lives are here, whatever it is, that is exactly what we are going to have when we reach the other side. Because it's only what we do for Christ that will ever be eternal and everlasting. You know, I had such glory in knowing that I had done a wonderful work for God. I could rest in that assurance, and I knew that it didn't make any difference what happened on this side of eternity, that every demon power in existence could never do away with what I had accomplished in His name, because He said that His word would not return void, and I knew that those were words of truth. I love the Lord with all my heart. He is my Lord and He is my Master. And whoever you are out there today, wherever you are, whoever is listening to this telecast, I want to ask you to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Do you know that it doesn't make any difference what kind of sins are in our lives or have been in our lives? That is why we need a Savior. That is why Jesus died, that we could have life and have it more abundantly. He doesn't say that we can be forgiven of one sin, but that another there is no forgiveness for. There's only one unforgivable sin unto man, and that is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And after a person has blasphemed the Holy Ghost, there is no forgiveness for that. But the sins that man is born unto, we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And the Bible says there is none of us good, no, not one, only the goodness that we have in Him, and only what we accomplish in Him are the only good things, the only merits that we will ever have. But this is why Jesus died, that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. He doesn't say, now, if you've been a terrible sinner, there's more forgiveness. But He says that His blood can make the vilest sinner whole. His blood can make the vilest sinner clean. And do you know that there isn't anything in this world like salvation? This is the mystery of eternity, that though we may live our lives in sin and despair, and yet when we come to a place that we realize that we are sinners and we are willing to humble ourselves before God, and just the simplicity of the old sinner's prayer, just kneel before Him and to ask Him in truthfulness and sincerity, to say to Him, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that You shed Your blood for my sins. I believe that You rose from the dead. I believe that You sit at the right hand of God the Father in the heavens. And I believe that You hear every word that I say. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make me a new creature. And I'm going to tell you that if you do that in truthfulness and sincerity, you're going to know beyond any shadow of doubt that you have passed from death unto life. You're going to know that you have become a new creature in Jesus Christ. And you know the beautiful part about salvation is, God says that He will take every sin that you ever committed in your life and that He will wash it away in the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. That He will drown it in the sea of His forgetfulness, and that He won't even remember it against you anymore. Do you know who remembers it? The devil will remember it. Satan's always going to remember it, and he's always going to be there to remind you of it. And any time you hear anyone saying, well, this person was this, and that one was that, and this one was something else, you can believe that this is Satan talking. It isn't God, because God doesn't remember it anymore. But he says that all the things you did before you knew him, you were dead to begin with. You were dead in your sins and trespasses. And that only what we do after we know Jesus Christ as our Savior are we actually accountable for, because before that time we're dead in our sins anyway. And I want to leave you with this thought, that this is the greatest decision that you are ever going to make on this side of eternity, is what will you do with that man called Christ? Because there is no other way that we can be saved but through him. There is no other way that we can enter the kingdom of heaven but through him. There is one mediator to the throne of God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. And I'm so thankful this day that he made a way for us when there seemed to be no way out of such despair and darkness. But Jesus made a way, and he gave us life eternal and everlasting through him. Again, before I leave you, I want to thank each and every one of you again for your prayers. The Lord bless you out there. You know who you are, and believe me, God knows who you are. And I think this is the beautiful part about being a Christian, is knowing that we have so many brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and that certainly we are not left alone ever. But we have him, and we have the body of Jesus Christ that always surrounds us at a time of need. The Lord is so good. His mercy endureth forever and ever and ever. And when I think of his glory, I think of his goodness. And I think that how none of us deserve any of the goodness of God or the wonderful things that he has done for us. How undeserving, really, we all are. But again, this is why we needed a Savior. This is why, when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, that he paid such a tremendous price to make it possible that we could have life eternal and everlasting. The Lord is so good. And do you know that every day of our lives that we spend, that we are not in the hand of God, and we are not dedicating our lives to him, are such lost time on this side of eternity. And how important it is. Again, let me stress to you that each and every one of us are made of the same clay, of the same earth. And we are all afflicted with the same afflictions. Like some of the mail that I have had said, I don't understand why God allowed this thing to happen to you. Why would it not happen to me as well as to you? Because there are no respecter of persons. But the thing of it is, the ones of us that it happened to, that know him, reach out and take hold upon his promises. It's been so good to be with you and spend this time with you. And we'll be back with you again at this same time, this next week, same station, same time. And until then, the Lord bless you. Make that decision for Jesus Christ today. We're living in the last days. It's later than you think. The Lord bless you and goodbye.